Good morning, everybody. I want to give a shout out this morning to everybody who participated in 21 days of prayer and fasting. For some of you, it was the very first time. And once again, we didn't lose a single person. That's really good. All right. Now, some of you felt as if you might die, but you didn't, just like I told you. All right. And so thank you for doing that. And I just want to say a big shout out to everybody who came for our prayer services. We had 21 prayer services. Last night's, we typically went right an hour, but last night it went almost 3 hours as we prayed for healing for people. It was amazing, and just an amazing, amazing time. And so it was the largest gathering for prayer services we have ever seen in 22 years. And so God is doing some good stuff. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of that. You know, someone asked me, he said a few days ago, they said on our way out of one of the prayer services, they said, "Hey, Pastor, can we do this every day?" And I looked at her and like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You know, I like every day for the rest of the year." I'm like, "Well, I don't think we can fast every day of the year. We wouldn't live. We really would die." But she was talking about prayer and just seeking the Lord. Well, I've got some really good news for you, because we are going to continue to fast and pray. And as I shared a few weeks ago, I feel that God gave us direction that we weren't just going to give the first 21 days of 2020 to fasting and prayer, but we're also going to fast and pray 3 days every month. And those dates are in your message notes that you've been passed out. And so our vision is that every month we have a first Wednesday service. And so the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that week, we're going to fast and pray, and we will close the fast each month on that first Wednesday service. And of course, that's going to change the tenor a little bit of first Wednesday. There's going to be a lot more prayer, a lot more believing for miracles. Is that okay, everybody? Now, I realize and recognize that this is a big ask, and that this is not your typical church ask, but I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, we're not a typical church. And 2020 is not a typical year. I feel in my spirit that this most of us recognize the war is on. The atmosphere is filled with spiritual warfare. I got a text from a pastor friend of mine just a couple days ago. Said, "Please pray for me. Blindsided by the enemy. It's going to be a long recovery." And those stories are just way too prevalent for all of us. And so we're believing God for victory. And and I want you to receive this, okay? Because I'm believing. Say, why would we do this? Why, right? Because by the way, the first one will begin a week from Monday. Isn't that exciting? You mean to tell me we're going to finish 21 days of fasting and we're going to do it again? And say, yes, that's what we're going to do. Now, and here's why. Because I believe that a lot of our lives are going this way. And this year is going to change the trajectory of your life. Somebody needs to receive that here today. This was the path that you're on, but after this year, you're going to be on a different path. It's going to be on a better path. It's going to be a path of victory for you, for your family, for your future. I wish I was in the right church here today, because that is what God is calling us to do, okay? Now, if you're making a decision about whether or not you're going to continue to come to this church this year, let me go ahead and tell you that it's not God's will for you to leave, all right? It's God's will for you to step in. Come on, somebody. This is Coach Wayne, all right? All right, I'm trying to help us. I remember what Tom Landry used to say. You guys remember Tom Landry? He was the coach of the Cowboys before the spirit of Antichrist came in. I used to be a Cowboys fan. All right. He used to say, he goes, "My job as a coach is to get my players to do what they don't want to do so that they can all experience what everybody wants." Isn't that right? And that's to win. And so I'm trying to get you to do what none of us really want to do, right? But why are we doing it? Because we want to win. We want to have victory in the house of God. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. And so let me encourage you as well that in this season and this year, if ever before, join us every Tuesday. And this is every Tuesday that we gather in the worship center for prayer from 6 to 7. And so I'd like to see the same crowds that we saw this week in prayer. I'd like to see you come out on Tuesday morning. Now let me just, before I turn into Charlie Brown's teacher, let me go ahead and coach you up a little bit more, okay? Some of you are like, "Well, no, I didn't do that. Well, that's not my habit." Come on. Okay? This is it. All right? Let's pray. Let's pray. If we draw near to God, the Bible says He'll draw near to us. And how many know when He draws near to us, all kinds of good stuff's going to happen? All right? And so I encourage you to do that. Here's our theme verse for this season that we're talking about. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us victory. Now, we've talked about the weapons that God gives us to win spiritual warfare. We talked a couple weeks ago about the power of prayer and fasting. It's a weapon. Jesus said this kind doesn't come out except through prayer and fasting. And so we are learning that and continue to experience that when we pray and fast, God works on our behalf. I got a message a few days ago, somebody in our church telling me that from the doctor's report that she is healed of diabetes completely. Come on, somebody give God praise. I believe we're gonna hear many more reports like that as we go through the year of miraculous healing miracles from heaven. Okay? Because when we pray and fast, God moves. We learned that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and that it's actually thousands of swords, because the Word of God is powerful. It's God's Word is God's will. And then last week, we talked about how powerful worship is, that when we worship, something happens in the heavenlies, and a door is open to God's presence. And so today, I want to talk to you about walking in victory. Okay, walking in victory. And really the question I want to ask everybody here today is, what is your part in the answer to your prayer? What is your part in the victory that you're believing God for in this year? Now, what are you talking about? Well, we prayed, we fasted, and God has answered, God is answering, but some of us haven't seen the answer yet, right? We haven't seen what we've been praying for yet. I want to remind you that there are two parts to every miracle. There's God's part and there's our part. We can't do God's part. God wants us to do our part, and that's how miracles happen. Let me show it to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. This is Paul. He's in prison. He's writing to the Philippian church. He says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to," say this with me, "work out." All right, that is not a direction for you to go get a gym membership unless the Lord's speaking to you about that. "But continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works," where? "In you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Watch this. Paul's saying there's two parts to your life changing. There's two parts to salvation. There is the part that God's works in you, but then there's the part where you work it out. God's part is to work it in. Our part is to work it out. Are you with me? And we're supposed to work out of our lives what God is working in us. I want you to notice he doesn't say work for your salvation, right? Because you can't save yourself no matter how good you are, right? No matter what good deeds we do, we can't save ourselves. So what I'm trying to tell you is grace is God's part of salvation. Jesus had to die on the cross in order for us to be saved. We could not save ourselves. But the miracle of salvation requires me to believe and to follow. Right? That's how salvation happens. God works it in, I work it out. I'm preaching better than your amen and already today. You know, it's kind of like the guy who, we have these extremes, right? We have these extremes when it comes to our lives. One extreme says, if it is to be, it's up to me. You know, if I want to see my life change, I just got to have more willpower. I just got to try harder. I just got to put my nose to the grindstone and, you know, ain't nobody going to help me but me. Well, that's not good. And then there's the other side that says, well, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on God. Very passive. It's kind of like the guy from the farmer from Iowa who was during a flood, the river's overflowing, the water surrounding his house up to his front porch, and as he's standing there, a boat comes up. The man in the boat says, jump in and I'll take you to safety. The farmer crosses his arms and says, you know, I prayed and I'm putting my trust in God, so the boat goes away. The water rises to a second story of his house. The boat comes up. Another boat comes back. The man says to the farmer, who's now at the second floor window, hurry, jump in, I'll save you. The farmer said, I prayed. No thanks. I put my trust in God. The boat goes away. Now the water's gotten to the roof. As the farmer stands on the roof, a helicopter comes by, drops a ladder down. The pilot yells down to the farmer, I'll save you. Climb the ladder. The farmer yells back, no thanks. I prayed. I put my trust in God. So the helicopter goes away. The water continues to rise, sweeps the farmer off the roof. Into the swiftly moving water, he dies. Farmer goes to heaven. God sees him, says, what are you doing here? The farmer says, well, I put my trust in you, and you let me down. God says, what do you mean, let you down? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Now, that's an old story, but it's right on the money, right? I like what Mark Batterson said in his book, Grave Robber. He says, generally speaking, God doesn't do the supernatural if we don't pull our weight by doing the natural. Right? When we focus time on prayer and seeking the Lord through prayer and fasting, often God will give us faith steps or next steps that we take to initiate the miracle to take place in our lives. And often, it's that step of faith that is the prerequisite for the miracle to take place in your life. Are you with me so far? Here's what I'm trying to tell you today, that often, God requires us to participate in the victory he wants us to provide. Don't shout me down. This is a biblical principle. Let me show you several examples from the Bible, okay? 2 Kings chapter 5. The story of Naaman. Naaman is this great soldier in the army of Aram. He is not an Israelite, but he's a commander of his army, and he has leprosy. He gets word. He says, hey, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal you. So he goes to Israel to get his healing, and Elisha sends him a message. Watch this. He says, Elisha sent a messenger to say to Naaman, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought I knew exactly what he was going to do. I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Now, how many know we're guilty of that thing as well? Naaman was offended by the instructions that the prophet gave to him. Matter of fact, he was offended that the prophet didn't even come out and talk to him. Elisha just sent a messenger to Naaman and said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Now, Naaman thought, you know, God, you can just wave your hand, abracadabra, and boom, it's gone. Now, perhaps you're praying for a financial miracle. You know, Pastor, I thought the Lord would just drop money right into my bank account. Some of you may be praying for your marriage and praying, you know, Pastor, I thought I would wake up one day and my husband would be a Hallmark husband. But listen, it's probably not going to work out that way, because God often wants you to be part of the miracle. God wanted Naaman to be part of the miracle to demonstrate faith and obedience. So after he got over himself, right, the Bible says he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God told him, as God told him to do, right? And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Do you see this? How about in the New Testament, in John chapter 9, that Jesus comes upon a blind man who is laying by the pool of Siloam. And remember, the disciples said, hey, Jesus, why is this man blind? Is it because he sinned or his parents sinned? As if all sickness is a result of sin. By the way, that is a lie. Somebody needs to receive that your sickness is not a result of your sin, and it's probably not your fault. Come on, right? He said this is all about God getting glory, right? And so what did Jesus say? He said, go, he told the blind man, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. The miracle occurred after his faith steps. Hang with me. Back to the Old Testament. Remember Joshua and the people of Israel. They were out of Egypt. They're out of the wilderness. They are coming to the promised land, this thing that God had, this land that God had promised them. And between them and the promise was this raging, flooded river, the Jordan River. And it was scary because it was at flood stage. Watch this. The Bible says that the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. And while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So it would have been way easier, I think, for them to go up and say, okay, Jesus, part the water. And after you part the water, we'll step into the river. But that is not how it happened. They had to take a faith step and actually put their foot into the raging water. And after they stepped, the miracle occurred. I'm trying to help you out today, because some of us are thinking, well, I'm just waiting on Jesus. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm waiting. Come on, God is going to give you direction. God's going to give you some faith steps. He's going to give you some, what is your part in the miracle? And there's a lot more examples in the Bible. Let me give you one more. John chapter 2, the very first miracle that Jesus did was turning water into wine. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw some water out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Jesus could have just stood over the pot. I mean, he is the creator of all things. I am, right? And so he could have said, poof, there it is. There's the wine you need. No. They had to go fill the jars with water, and then they had to draw it out. Come on now. So God wanted them to be part of the miracle, and they were. See, there's something about our physical obedience that releases the supernatural into our lives. Let me say that again. There's something about our physical obedience that releases the supernatural into our lives. It's called faith. Everybody say faith. So we need to be ready to take faith steps when he tells us what to do about our own victory. And the reason is, we don't have a magic God. We have a Father God. Lean in on this if you don't mind. We don't serve a God who is in a genie and we rub the bottle and he gives us 3 wishes. That is not the God of the Bible. We have a God who is a Father who loves us. And how many know, every parent, you're not going to give your kids every single thing they ask for. If you do that, you will ruin them. you will ruin their character, you'll ruin their thinking. So we have a Father God who loves us, who says, I want you to be part of this. I want you to take faith steps. I want you to trust me. Come on. Oh, that's better preaching than your amen in this morning. Because he knows that if we don't change our thinking, if we don't change our habits, if we don't change the way we do things, he may give us victory, but we'll be right back into the same boat sometime later. Amen, everybody? So here's the deal. If we're going to see victory in 2020, we have to do our part in it. So what's God saying to you about your part to the answer to your prayer? What is God saying to you about your part in the answer to your prayer? And I want you to be thinking about that for the rest of this message for the next few minutes. I left some space there on your message notes for you to write that down. What is God saying to me about my part in the answer to prayer? Well, Pastor, I thought if we just prayed and fasted that God would just poof and it would be done and God's heard every, you know, and that he would do it. Well, let me encourage you. God has heard every prayer, right? God sent his angels to respond. God's working it out, right? But every miracle, all miracles require faith action, steps of faith. Now, let me give you some examples, all right? I'm going to help you out. This is Coach Wayne speaking here today. I should have just wore a sweatsuit or something, but never mind. If you've been praying for a family member to come to Jesus, to follow Jesus, maybe a coworker, a neighbor, perhaps you should actually sit down with them and share the gospel with them and give them an opportunity to turn to Jesus. Perhaps you want to invite them to a church service because every Sunday we give people the opportunity to turn their hearts and lives over to Jesus Christ and give God a chance to work in their life. Perhaps as we start groups in the next couple of weeks, you start a group and you invite them to the group, come with you, all right? Maybe you invite a group, you start a group yourself just for unsaved people. We'll help you. We'll coach you how to do that. Are you getting this here today? Right? If you've been praying for your marriage, your next faith step is to come to the marriage conference this weekend. Right? Dr. Egrich is going to be here. His book, his material, Love and Respect. Many people have testified just to how it strengthened their marriage and even saved their marriage. Right? So if you're praying for your marriage or another marriage, be here this next weekend. Right? I'm getting ahead of myself. All right? Time was going slow, then we're fasting. Now it's going to speed up, all right? All right, some of you who've been praying for your marriage, your next faith step could be to cut off the people in your life who are giving you bad advice. Right? Just cut off the people who are telling you what you should do. Let me go ahead and tell you that the person who has a long track record of bad marriages is not the person who should be giving you advice about your marriage. Boom. Revelation. If you've been praying for a miracle in your finances or financial provision or some kind of provision from God, can I tell you that your first step is to become a faithful tither according to God's word? That's just the word of God, all right? Because when you begin to do that, there's some promises of God that begin to kick in into your life. He's going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And the Bible says he's going to pour out a blessing you cannot contain, right? You know, maybe for your financial miracle is to go to a financial peace class. Get your money in order, right? Download a budget. Actually write it down. I'm preaching good today. If you've been praying for your victory in your family or your relationships, maybe there's difficulty there. Perhaps your faith step could be to eliminate some negative relationships that are having a negative effect on your family. I'm talking about people who are gossiping and tearing down other people, criticizing everyone, tearing down the church, tearing down the pastor, always negative, always negative. You're never going to have victory in your life if you're surrounded by negative people. All right? You say, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. I'm telling you, if you want victory, some of those people got to go away. Your news feed is filled with complaints and negative and blah, 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 blah. Unfriend. Don't follow. Guess what? If you follow positive people, your news feed will be filled with positive stuff. It's amazing, all right? Praise God. If you've been praying for victory over temptation, victory over bad habits, maybe there's just a sin habit that you have, can I tell you that your next steps should be to join a group? Because you're not going to win in spiritual isolation. You're not going to have victory over sin while you are by yourself. You need people around you to encourage you and to pray for you. Come on, somebody. Our vision as a church is that that we sit in rows, but we also sit in circles. Everybody's got to have somebody who knows your secrets, who knows what's going on in your heart, who knows what you struggle with, so they can pray for you, they can hold you accountable, right? That's when victory is going to come. Some of you have been praying for victory over a habit for years and years and years, and you've been fighting it by yourself, and there's this, and there's this, there's this, and there's this. You have good seasons, you have bad seasons. If you want to slay that dragon, get a friend, develop a relationship. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time, but pretty soon you're going to trust somebody. And you're going to say, hey, this is what I'm really going through. And you know what they're going to say back to you? They're going to say back to you, I thought I was the only one. Because we all have issues. Pastor, I don't have any issues. Well, then that's your issue. Right? If you're battling addiction or love someone who is, go to Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights. If you've been praying for victory in your mind, in your thoughts, perhaps your faith steps should be to change what you listen to, change what you watch on TV, change your social media habits. Significantly reduce screens in your life, right? The Bible says be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Maybe you've been praying, God, deliver me from anxiety. Maybe your next faith step would be to go to a counselor and let them help you. Don't shout me down on that one. You've been praying for victory in your body, for physical healing. Perhaps you should go to a medical doctor who is a gift from the Lord. Doctors are not from hell. They're from Jesus, right? He gave that gift to people. Some of you just need to do what the doctor's already told you to do. For many of us, victory is going to come to our life if we just change our schedule, right? I know it's important to the younger generation, this work-life balance. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed, but perhaps we just need to go to bed instead of playing PlayStation till 3 in the morning. How about you not sleep with your phone? I'm being real, right? It's affecting your sleep. You're not getting rest. It's hurting you, right? Honestly, some of us struggle because we're trying to live on too little sleep. I'm preaching better than you're amening today. Some of you just need to get victory in your life by going to church consistently. Instead of just being here once in a while, once every 4 weeks, once every 2 months, how about just making a habit being here? You know what's going to happen here every week? You're gonna worship. You know, you're going to hear from God's word. We're going to have an encounter with Jesus. And then when you begin to get that habit of that steady growth in your life, you're going to be better off than you were before. Amen. Some of you need to get victory in your life simply by serving on one of our dream teams, right? Because you're frustrated because you have this gift that God's given you, and somehow you thought that gift was meant to serve yourself, and it actually wasn't. God gave you that gift to serve other people, and you're frustrated because you're using it to serve yourself. And you just need to get on a team and find a team, begin to serve on a regular basis, and God will bring victory in your life. Perhaps your faith step is just begin to learn about that issue that you're facing, that you're struggling with. Read a book about it. Do a Bible study about it, right? If you're praying about direction for the future, I can't think of a better thing to do than to go on a missions trip. Because I can't tell you how many people that was the catalyst for God giving direction in their life. Some of you, your next faith step is to get baptized in water and take your next step of declaring your faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Because, again, how many people testified? You know, my walk with Jesus was kind of wobbly, and then I got baptized in water and something changed. Can anybody testify that that's your story here today? Amen. Praise God. So let me give you one more example from the Bible, and then we're going to take communion. When an unclean spirit, this is Jesus speaking, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And then it says, I will return to the house I left. On its return, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in. And they dwell there. And the final plight of that man is worse than the first. Amen. Through prayer and fasting, through the word of God, through worship, God breaks things off of us. God frees us from things. God gives us some powerful things in our lives. And according to this, Jesus said, after God does the work, and in this case, it was actually delivering somebody from a demon, now you have a job to do. You got to replace it with something else. Because if you don't, you'll actually end up worse than you were before. Because, and here's for, I think what this means for us, is if we don't do our part in the miracle, we'll get cynical about God, about prayer, about fasting, about seeking the Lord. You'll say things like, well, Pastor, I did that. That didn't work. Pastor, I tried that. That didn't work. Jesus said there's a law of replacement. Right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting something different. Here's God's word for a lot of you here today. You got to start acting different. You got to start doing different. You got to change something if you want to see the victory come into your life. Amen, everybody? Do you receive it here this morning? Come on, give God praise for God's word if you believe that. I want you to take a moment, and just in the quietness of the moment, as Steve plays a little bit, I want you to write down what your part in your miracle is. What is God saying to you about the answer to your prayer? What is God saying to you about your faith steps? I'm gonna be quiet for a minute or two, and I'm just gonna ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit, and if at all possible, there's a pen in front of the chair, and the chair in front of you. I want you to write down, what's God saying to me about my next faith steps for this season of victory in my life? Take a minute and write it down. Thank you, God. I want you to take the elements of communion on the chair beside you. If you would take those elements. Today we're going to break this 21-day fast with communion. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Come to this communion time. Every follower of Jesus is welcome to participate in this communion time, but no one's required to. But if you like, I want you to take this bread. Would you give God thanks for Jesus? Jesus, I thank you for this bread. Thank you for this representation of the love of God, the amazing love of God. We give you thanks. Receive the bread together. He took the cup. He blessed it, the Bible says. Gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. God's promise to us. All God's promises I read yesterday are yes and amen in Christ Jesus." This cup is a guarantee of all the promises of God. We remember his sacrifice for us, that he loves us. Listen, we don't have to manipulate God into anything. Are you hearing me? We're not trying to arm wrestle God to answer our prayer. This cup shows us how he feels about us. He loves us. We give thanks for the love of God. Receive it together. heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you haven't fully surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, today is your day to do just that. If you're not following the Lord, things aren't right between you and God. I'm not asking if you're a Christian. I'm asking if you're following Him. If you are not following Him, today is a great day to turn around and begin to do just that. The Bible word for that is repentance. Repentance has a very negative connotation in our culture, but it's very positive, actually. It's a turnaround. I'm going to turn from the way I've been walking and living, and I'm going to begin to follow Jesus Christ. That takes a decision, and that's what you're doing right here, right now. I'm making a decision to follow Jesus. If that's you, begin with this confession of faith. Pray after me, and others around you will pray out loud as well. And just say, "Dear God," come on, say it out loud, "Dear God, I trust Jesus to save me. The cross and the resurrection are my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I surrender every part of my life to you. Holy Spirit, from this day forward, fill me with your power to follow Jesus every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now follow him. Amen. Now serve him. Join us in following him. If you're new to following Jesus or you have questions about that, as you leave today, out in the hub, there's a red information tent. And we'd like you to go there. We'd like to give you a Bible, give you some resources to help you as you learn to follow Jesus together. Amen. Somebody give God praise for the good things that God has done in our midst.